I listen to Christian music, I read my Bible, I pray, and I'm still broken. Sound like your life? Do you want to please God with all your fiber? You want to love him to the depth of your core, and there's a battle going on inside your head. That's the Christian life. And Jesus came with a purpose, and he came to give us a purpose. You know, when I look back over the Gospel of Luke, I see Jesus reach out to men and women, young and old, powerful, forgotten, demon-possessed. I mean, can you imagine John 4 going to the woman at the well, married five times, living with a dude? Can you imagine her mess? And Christ going out of his way to meet this woman? This morning, if you're here and you're like, Jesus isn't interested in me, are you kidding me? He wants your story. And that's why he came. So we begin our text. I know some of you are going, you're going to spend 30 minutes on 11 words? Yeah, I am. For the Son of Man, Jesus came with purpose. He came to rescue us. He came to reconcile us to God the Father. He came to restore you. And we begin this text, it begins, for the Son of Man came. Jesus came looking for us. The Son of Man, this is the title used in Luke. This is the title used in Daniel, and it is Jesus' favorite title of himself. He is the Son of Man. It says he came. How many of you are going to celebrate Christmas this year? Amen. Anybody? Keep those hands up. How many of you want my address for a card? Mike, you're on board, right? Jesus came. He's, and in this verse, he speaks of his own incarnation. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son, a child, his name shall be Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a son is born, right? And we all know the Micah passage, Micah 5:2, right? Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. There were two Bethlehems, wasn't born in the northern, was born in the southern. You can't make that up. He came with a purpose. He's got eyes on you. He knows you by name. And what I have found amazing about this Christian truth is that my God knows me, and he knows that I'm a good Brad on some days and a bad Brad on other days. He knows I have a lead foot. I will never admit that again. He knows everything about me, and he loves me. You know, I've never experienced that a lot in my life, have you? Are you one of those broken people? Can we admit that in church where love just seems to elude you and the people that are supposed to love you don't and the people you want to love you won't? And you categorize God into that category, and you wonder, boy, I just got to perform for him. I just got to be the perfect Christian. I got to attend every service. I got to do this. I got to do that. And I want to say to you this morning, relax in the purpose of the Lord. He's come to save you so you don't have to perform. This is not a dog and pony show. We're each on our own journey. And he is our champion. Are you with me? All right, here we go. You ready? When Jesus uses this term, Son of Man, the common understanding is that the Son of Man implies his deity, which it does, and the Son of God implies his deity, and the Son of Man implies his humanity. Dan used a big word for us a few weeks ago called the hypostatic union, where Jesus is fully God and he became fully man. He never left his godness, he always was God, but he limited himself, according to Philippians 2, for the purpose of being just like us. He identifies with you. He is without sin. But he understands the difficulties of life. He wept at Lazarus' death. He understood life. He got it. He went off by himself. He knows us, and he came to save us. That is his purpose. The text says, for the Son of Man, spoken of in the Old Testament, the Yeshua and Daniel 7, the Messiah, would be called this term. We're not mistaken. We know who Christ is. The world knows who he is. I'm convinced the world knows who Christ is. I love this text. He was the Son of Man, that is, a human being, and he is the Son of God in that he has always existed as the eternally begotten one who comes forth from the Father forever. He always has and he always will. He is the second person of the triunity, of the Trinity, with all the divine nature fully embodied in his flesh. The incarnation was true. This year, maybe Walmart isn't going to have all the toys. Maybe Walmart isn't going to have all the junk. And why they start celebrating Christmas next year, they're going to start in May. maybe we need a little reprieve as to why we celebrate. You with me? Amen. Come on now. Come on. I don't want to bore you. Come on now. Speak to me. Come on. It says, the text says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Let's get down to the brass tacks, the seeking. In the Greek, that's what the New Testament was written in. That word means getting to the bottom of the matter. Jesus came to get to the bottom of the matter. He came to get to the bottom of the problem. He came to rescue us from our own sin. Man, I'm telling you, we are so saturated, you can't even believe how sinful you are. You say, that's offensive in our culture. I didn't say it, the Lord did. I'm just the messenger. You say, I'm not that bad. That's the problem. When we compare ourselves to Jeffrey Dahmer, we're heroes. When we compare ourselves to Jesus, we fail. That's the reality. Are you with me? Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. Well, first of all, we need to be lost. And I love John 3:16. It's one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. I say that all the time about every verse that I preach about. For God so loved the world, for God so loved Brad, that he gave his only begotten son, that if Brad will believe in him, Brad's not going to perish, but I'm going to have everlasting life. Substitute your name in there. He did that for you. He knows your name. He knows your granddad. He knows your generations, 10 generations ago. He knew when you would be born. He's already scribed, according to Hebrews 9:27, when you're going to die. He knows everything about you, and his love still permeates the reality that he loves you as you are. Are you with me? But we can't hide behind the sin any longer. You see, Jesus came to seek us, and he's seeking us because humanity is not seeking him. And I know some of us in our culture, I've listened to preachers that Jesus is just out there just hoping you're going to come. Well, let me tell you, Romans chapter 3 is a great treatise. No one's seeking after God. John 6:44 says that all that come to the Father draws him. And if you're sitting in here this morning and you're feeling that God unction inside of you, you're like, man, I need to get right with Christ. Or man, this sin's really bothering me. And man, I'm struggling. Lord, I want to please you. You are right where you need to be, because that is the thought of every one of us in the room. We just don't talk about it. We bring our A game to church. Life is great and our lives are falling apart. Anybody going to amen that? You going to get honest for a moment? One of the things Christianity needs is just honesty. Jesus came for the purpose why the Son of Man would come, the incarnation, he would seek to save us. And how many of you remember the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned? Remember the story? It says God was walking in the garden looking for Adam and Eve. Well, you know the Father doesn't have a body. You know who that was? That was Jesus. It's called a theophany or Christophany, where Jesus shows up in the Old Testament, pre-incarnate. And he says, hey, Adam, hey, Eve, where are you? And they're like, we're in the bushes, we're naked, right? We're naked. And he said, who told you you were naked? The very one they should have ran to is the one they're running from. Hey, whoa, did you just catch that? The very one that they ran from is the one they should have been running to. In the midst of the problem, we go to him because he's come to save us. That's the purpose. He come to seek and save us. He's seeking us because humanity's denying really how bad it is. Just turn on the news and go, what is wrong with this world? What's wrong with this world? We're contaminated in sin, and we're not all as bad as we could be, but the world is contaminated, marinated, saturated in sin. And Jesus came to deliver us out of that. Now, I know sometimes I might be a little theological. My folks have been used to that. But there's three issues going on here. One, you have imputed sin. Because Adam sinned, we're all guilty. We're guilty by association. Now, when I was a kid, I got in a lot of trouble. I always tried to do the blame game. I wasn't the one that took it. I may have been driving the car. I may have sped away at 100 miles an hour, but I didn't take it. I'm an accessory. Then there's inherited sin. Comes down through the genes, right? You ever look at your dad in the mirror and go, wait a minute, that's not my dad, that's me. Anybody do that besides me? Oh, man. And you swear up and down you won't ever act like him, and then you find yourself calling your kids Mr. Hey, Mr., knock that off. And you're like, I'm my dad, right? And then there's individual sin. It's what you choose to do. You see, you have a sin problem. Before you can be found, you must be lost. See, Jesus came to save us, and the word save there, the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Jesus came to save us. Saved means to rescue, to heal, to preserve, remove from danger. Salvation in its full sense is from the guilt of sin in the past, the power of sin in the present, and the presence of sin in the future. When we come to Christ, you've all heard the old sermons, we're washed in the blood. You've heard all the old sermons, washed in the blood. When the Father sees me, he's going to see Christ. He's going to see that I'm washed in the blood. I'm whiter than snow. Jesus did it all for me. I don't have to perform in a dog and pony show for him. I just need to be honest and live the life in close proximity to my Redeemer. Just took 3 minutes off the sermon right there. I will. And this is the beauty of Christ. You say, I've not heard this before. I sat in church for years and I never heard the gospel. I heard be moral. I heard be baptized. I heard do what your grandmother says. And I knew that I was in trouble because I couldn't do any of those things. They get baptized with the water, wasn't going to save me. He came to save us. Ephesians 2:8, 9. For by grace through faith you have been saved, and that not of yourselves. Quit performing and just enjoy Jesus. Saints of God. Everyone in this room, do you hear me? Stop performing and enjoy what Christ has done for you. Enjoy him. Love him. Call out to him. In your deepest, darkest depth of sin, call out to him. And when you're in your car and you're worshiping and you look over at the guy beside you and he's looking at you and he's cool, he's got the beard, he's got the hat, and you can tell he's just a cool dude, and you're crying, driving your little Mazda, and you're looking at him and you're crying, worship the Lord while you have a chance and tell him how great he is. You know, there are only two ways that you can believe you can come to God. Either on the merits of Christ or on your own merits. It's either by grace and grace alone, or it's by works or some mixture of grace and works. It's only two things. There's only two kinds of religion in the world. The religion of divine accomplishment, that which Christ did, or the religion of human achievement, that which you do. Christianity holds the true gospel, which is the religion of divine accomplishment. And I want to get real technical for you. Churches very seldom define the gospel. And one of the things I love about our pastor is he's very clear and concise. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what saves us. Paul says in Romans 1:16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and to the Greek. The gospel is clear. Christ died at Calvary for Brad Dar's sin. He was buried in the rich man's tomb, according to 1 Corinthians 15. You know why it's there? That substantiates the prophecies in Scripture are true. And then it says he rose from the dead. Let me ask you a question. Where's Muhammad? Where's Buddha? Where's Confucius? Where's all the cult leaders? They're dead. Where's Christ? Resurrected. Right? Come on now. Come on now. Grab the truth of that. He came to save you. He came seeking you. He came to call you by name. And I'd say to you that God does it all. You simply believe. Every other religious system in the world is a religious system of human achievement. If I'm just good enough to slide in, I'm not good enough. That's my problem. My conscience weighs against my actions. I condemn myself just by breathing. And the reality is Christ paid it all. Listen, it's time to get charismatic in this place. Christ paid it all. Amen. Christ paid it all. Thank you. That's the beauty of it. Some of you say, well, I know you, Brad. You're not perfect. I don't have to be. I do need to be godly. But I don't have to be perfect. And the reality is, I'm fearful sometimes because I think I run across a lot of Christians who know who Jesus is. And I say Christians loosely. I don't think they know him. Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to ask you an honest question. No booing, it's a political question, okay? I won't be asked back, brother. No, I'm just kidding. Has anyone in the room ever met Joe Biden or Donald Trump? Anybody? But everybody in this room know who they are. So if you saw Joe getting off a plane, you said, "Hey, Joe," and he looks at you, "I don't know you." He wouldn't know me. First of all, I'd probably be out of breath running from security if I was that close, right? I'm like a locomotive. It takes me a little while to get up to speed, but once I do, get out of the way, right? I'm fearful that some of you this morning are like that with Jesus. You know who he is, but you don't know him. See, the relationship begins when you feel the conviction of God in your heart. And you may not be as bad as your neighbor, that redneck, but you recognize your sinfulness, and you cry out to God. We call it a sinner's prayer. That's not in the Bible, but that's what we call it. When you cry out and you go, "Jesus, it's me, Brad." I did this in 1986. Beside my waterbed, in my apartment, by myself, with my Bible open, absolutely convinced that I was going to split hell wide open and deserved every bit of God's wrath for my behavior. I knew that. I was convicted. And I just, it went something like this. And I was so unchurched, it just went, "Hey, Jesus, it's me. I need you. I'm dying down here. I'm trying to kick addiction. Bad family life, trailer park kid, can go through the list, abused. I can go through the list of all the things you don't want as a child, and I'm calling out to you, and I believe you died for me at Calvary. I believe you were buried in the rich man's tomb, and I believe you rose from the dead for me. Will you save me?" And immediately that relationship was formed. And I've never looked back. This is the beauty of our God. Are you with me? Are you grateful? Can you say amen?
Amen?
I am found as found can be. And that's the other purpose Jesus came. He came to save me from my lostness. You know, to be lost, and I need to move quickly now. Jesus said he came to seek and save that which is lost. The idea of lost is dying, perishing, the certainty of death. And the Bible describes the estate of the unsaved person as a child of disobedience, dead in their trespasses and sins, lost, perishing, condemned, under the wrath of God, blind, but under the power of darkness, one who lives in spiritual darkness, one who lives for their own satisfaction to the peril of everyone else around them, one who's under the control of Satan, one who's disobedient to God. This is what the scripture says the lost person looks like. And yet in Romans 8, Paul penned some of the greatest theological truth that I've ever written. It says, "Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I've gone from lost to being found. And how does that happen? Does it happen because I tithe? Does it happen because I get baptized? Does it happen because I attend church? Does it happen because I give God credence with a token prayer on Easter and Christmas? Or does it happen when I come to him recognizing my own wretchedness and I cry out to him and he saves me? That's when it happens. You know, can I say to you, the only person in the world who has the right to be truly happy is the Christian. Strange, so few of us reflect on how much joy that we have in Christ on our faces in our lives. You know, the Christian witness would be much greater if those of us who know Christ would consistently show that something wonderful has happened to us. I am saved. Hey, I am born again. I am redeemed. I'm one of God's children. I'm more than a victor in Christ. He does miracles. Every one of you that know Christ in this room, you are a breathing miracle that he drew you in. And then he lavishes upon you his love and blesses you and promises you his heavenly kingdom when none of us deserve it. He's the only one that had the authority. He's the only one who backed up the claim. Listen, all of history knows who Christ is. Can I say to you this? It is only when we realize who Christ is and what he has done for us and the reality of his continuing presence that the joy which should be ours becomes a reality. That's his purpose, saints. Are you with me? Come on, I'm winding this thing down. Who's buying Applebee's after the service? Gonna flood that place in Jesus' name, eat some chicken, right? You know, let me read this to you, and I'll transition to my other point, and we'll get out of here. The joy that the Bible talks about stems from a perspective centered in the eternal and not the temporal. We as believers understand that Christ came to save us from our sin. And I'm going to get really technical with you before I move on. Jesus, the creator of hell, I know it's not culturally relevant to be speaking about such things in church, but Jesus, the creator of hell for Satan and his demons, knows how wretched it is. And I want to share something with you that maybe some of you have thought about, some of you have not. But Christ came to save you from himself. And he knows what the wrath is going to be like. And I've gone from being a child of wrath and a child of disobedience to being a child of the King who wants to be obedient, who struggles with disobedience. You with me? Man, some of you in this room, you may know who Jesus is, but you may not have invited him in. Maybe it's time you do that. And some of you in the room, you're just crying out to God and you're wondering where he's at. You're like, I'm so broken, Brad, I just don't know. Listen, if you can look up, you can get up. So let me finish out this text, then we'll get out of here, I promise. Jesus came to give us purpose. His purpose was to come to save us from our sins. If you're looking for the savior of the prosperity gospel, you're going to be greatly disappointed. Because I've been a pastor and I've been a Christian for 30 plus years, and my bank account doesn't look anything like some of these jokers on TV. But I will tell you that when I slide into glory, I want to be walking down heaven's street and have people come up to me that I didn't know and who said, you preached a sermon in which you were saved, and he told me about what you said, and I was saved by God's grace. I believe that's going to happen. See, I think heaven's a real place. The Bible speaks of at least 11 dimensions. It's real. Now, let's get out of here. You ready? The second reason that Jesus came was to give us purpose. And let me read you the scripture. I love this out of the message. It says in 1 Peter 3, and this is all part of this purpose, Jesus has to keep us saved. Otherwise, we'll out-sin his grace. You with me? Come on now, pinch yourself. Come on now. Almost out of here. Jesus came to give us purpose, and this is what he did. He came to save us and keep us saved. Listen to this text in 1 Peter 3. What a God we have. There's an exclamation mark there. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus, because Jesus, who is raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And this future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us in the future. And the day is coming when we're going to have it all. You know what, saints of God, let me say this to you. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Let me say this to you. Let me be very clear. Don't waste your time on trying to find meaning and purpose in the trinkets of life. Don't lose yourself in your home addition, your home remodeling. Don't lose yourself in the things of the world. Listen, I can tell you right now, I'm a car guy. I'm a car guy all the way. You drive up in a 69 Camaro, you drive up in a 70 Camaro, I'm out there panting and I'm wondering, Lord, where's mine? I can lose myself in the trinkets of the world. Handguns, firearms, cars, motorcycles. You should have seen my Harley. And I remember very clearly, I was going down the road. I won't tell you how fast. It was more than 70. And I was praying. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, man, don't waste your life on metal. Sold the motorcycle. He is my purpose. Now, some of your wives are nudging some of you guys. I did not say that you're supposed to sell your motorcycle. That's not what I said, all right? What I'm saying is don't make things of the world your purpose, because if you do, you will never be content and you will never be fulfilled. Anybody with me? Yes. All right, one more point I'm out here, I promise. I'm preaching long, I know. Keep going, bro. I know, come on now, I know. Jesus gives me purpose. He is everything to me. And listen, I'm 6'2", former law enforcement, believe in stomping, believe in guns, I bleed red, white, and blue. My son is a disabled veteran at 29 years old. My brother retired from the Air Force. My dad was in the military. My grandpa was on a ship in the Pacific. I'm Americana. And I'm here to tell you that the greatest joy in my life is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Not ashamed. I love the Lord. Listen, I'm wretched. I love the Lord. I'm wily. Anybody knows me? Wily. I'm rebellious at heart, but I love Jesus. And so when men, as we begin to close out of this, when men make this statement, John Piper said, what is the chief aim of man? What are you all about? Because we know Jesus' purpose was to come to seek and save us and give us purpose. But what is the chief end of man? Why am I even here? Man's chief aim is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's why you were created. And I love this, one of the final statements I'm going to give you this morning is by Dr. John Piper, who's one of my heroes. I love Dr. Piper. Sat at his knee. I love Dr. Piper. Truly humble man. And I remember reading this quote. I remember hearing this quote at a pastor's conference, and it went something like this. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. So can I end this morning with this plea to you? Twofold, we'll get out of here because Applebee's is calling me. Christ came with the purpose to save you from your sin. And that's a journey. He saves you from past sin, present sin, and future sin. Doesn't give you the grace to go out and live however you want, but it does give you the grace to be a human being. When you come to him, he doesn't return you like they do at Walmart, right? There's no customer service in heaven. You're defective, I'm going to put you back. God doesn't do that. And then he gives you purpose to live. And the purpose to live is in him. And I want to tell you this morning as we wind this thing down, I do my conclusion, is that until you recognize your purpose, you will never be truly fulfilled. How do you think the men in the Old Testament, women in the Old Testament, went through all they went through and came out the other side? Because I'm going to tell you, here's a little nugget of truth. If you can look up, you can get up. If you can look up, you can get up. And so I want to say to you this morning, the purpose of Jesus, that man called Jesus, his purpose was to come to rescue you, reconcile you, and restore you before the Father. So when you stand before the Father, you're washed in the blood, you're whiter than snow, and all of a sudden you're standing there before an omnipotent God, and it is colors like you've never seen, and the floor is crystal, and the angels are singing, and the cherubs, and all the angelos in heaven, all the angels are singing in perfect pitch with all the saints, and you're blown out of your mind by what you're experiencing. You can't even fathom what you're experiencing. And all of a sudden, you're standing before the Father, before the great white throne, and he's there. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks up to you and puts his arm around you, and he says, Father, he's with me. That's how you slide in. So let me close with this. You ready? Peace, hope, and joy all come to dwell within us as we purpose to focus our lives on the Son of God. On the Son of Man. We purpose to live within his purpose. He loves us. He saves us. He secures us for all eternity. He heals our brokenness. He provides us for us. He has prepared a place for us. And I don't know about you, and this is one of the tenets of my life, is I look forward to the day when I slide into glory and I feel the breath of my Lord on my neck because he has raised me off my knees. And I want him to say, well done, Brad. Well done. Boy, you are rebellious and wily. Yes, Lord, I know. That's why I need you. And so, final statement this morning. When we see and know his purpose, it brings us to a place of peace and contentment. No matter what this world does, no matter what's going on, no matter what the devil's throwing at you, no matter what your poor decisions are, we can look to heaven, and if you can look up, you can get up. And that's the purpose of Christ. He is my Redeemer. He is my hope. He is my joy. He is my purpose. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And I'm wondering this morning, can you say the same? Will you stand with me as we close? You ready? Some of you look like you're nodding off. For those of you that were nodding off, I did preach 10 minutes longer, so you know. I did that. I'm terrible, aren't I? I'm a terrible human being. This morning, if you don't know Christ, will you just simply think about what I've said? Just talk to him in your mind. You're feeling the conviction of your sin. That's him knocking on your door. Let him in. He's in the business of renovation. He'll clean you up, put you in places you never thought you would be. Brad Dar, that trailer park kid. Yeah. And secondly, if you don't have purpose and you're wondering and you're a Christian and you're just aimless, center on Christ. He'll lead you. He'll lead you to your spouse. He'll lead you down the road. He'll lead you how to have patience with your kids. He'll lead you. He'll change you. And when he does that, give him the glory. You with me? That's his purpose, to save you and to give you purpose. Lord, I ask this morning as we go to our homes, as we move out of church, that we just get real with you. Lord, it just seems sometimes in Christianity we struggle with honesty. We all want to look like we have it together. And God, if I were to be honest with you, some days I just don't. And you carry me because you love me. Like a love I've never known, you love me. And sometimes, Lord, I don't know why. Because I'm unlovable. And yet I'm constantly reminded. For my Father so loved Brad that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Brad just believes and trusts him, he will not perish, but have everlasting life. We give you glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Saints of God, enjoy your day. God bless you.